Okay, so we'll continue. So we saw how in the first 16 verses, Brahmaji has explained to Narada Muni about how the Supreme Lord is the material cause of this universe. So now he is going to describe in this verse how the Supreme Lord is also the effective cause of this universe. What is the meaning of effective cause? The person who is using the upadan to actually make it happen, like the potter. Okay, so this one verse he is going to nimitta karan. In this one verse he is going to explain how the same Garbhodaksai Vishnu is also the effective cause of this universe. Okay, so he says, Swadeshnyam pratapan prano bahischa pratapatyasau evam virajam pratapan tapatyantar bahippuman. So very interesting analogy he gives. Just as for living, we need the prana to circulate within our body, and from outside we need oxygen. Swadishnyam pratapan prano bahischa pratapatyasau. From inside also we need prana, and from outside also we need air or oxygen to live. So just like air sustains the living entities both from inside and outside, evam, in the same way, virajam pratapan. Pratapan here refers to sustains. The similar way, this Virat Purusha is sustained antar bahihi, from inside and outside, by Puman. Who is this Puman? Garbhodaksai Vishnu. Garbhodaksai Vishnu. In the same way, Garbhodaksai Vishnu maintains this Virat Purusha from inside and outside. Okay. So he is compared to, and of course Prabhupada's translating not as air, but he is translating as sun. So Prabhupada's translation is, the sun illuminates both internally and externally by expanding its radiation. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by expanding his universal form, maintains everything in the creation both internally and externally. So whether you take it, we need both the sun and air for our sustenance. You can understand that internally we need the aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam deham ashrita. You know, the jataragni is also very important. If that stops functioning, a person dies. Okay. And from externally also you need the sun for one's sustenance. So Prabhupada gives this kind of an explanation. Similarly, the Supreme Lord in the form of Garbhodaksai Vishnu sustains this universe from both inside and outside, like that. Okay. So this explains how Garbhodaksai Vishnu is the effective cause also of this universe. So here, and he is manipulating those ingredients to create the functioning universe also. So Srila Prabhupada writes here, Srila Vishnajaka Thakur mentions, just as the life air energizes the interior of the body and spreads its heat outside as well, the Lord situated in the Virat Rupa as the Antaryami. Who is the Antaryami of Virat Rupa? Garbhodaksai Vishnu. Who is the Antaryami of this material manifestation? Karanodaksai Vishnu. Who is the Antaryami of individual living entities? క్షీరోదక సాయి విష్ణు. సో ఆల్ పురుషావతారాస్ ఆర్ అంతర్యామి ఎక్స్పెన్షన్స్ ఓన్లీ. సో ద లార్డ్ సిచ్యువేటెడ్ ఇన్ ద విరాట్ రూప యాజ్ ది అంతర్యామి ఎనర్జైజెస్ ఇన్ ది సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎంపవరింగ్ ద యూనివర్స్ విత్ జ్ఞానశక్తి, క్రియాశక్తి అండ్ ద్రవ్యశక్తి అండ్ దస్ స్ప్రెడ్స్ ఇట్స్ ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్ ఇన్సైడ్ అండ్ అవుట్ సైడ్ లైక్ దట్. ఇన్ దట్ సెన్స్ ద పరమాత్మ యాక్చువల్లీ ఎనర్జైజెస్ ఆర్ ఎంపవర్స్ దిస్ యూనివర్స్. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ రైట్స్ హియర్ ఇన్ ది పర్పోర్ట్, జస్ట్ యాజ్ సూర్యనారాయణ్ ఇస్ ది కాజ్ ఆఫ్ ద సన్ రేస్, ద లార్డ్ ఇస్ ది కాజ్ ఆఫ్ ద బ్రహ్మజ్యోతి ఆర్ ది విరాట్ రూప్. ప్రభుపాద్ కోట్స్ ఫ్రమ్ భగవద్గీత, బ్రహ్మణోహి ప్రతిష్టాహం. ఆఫ్ ద బ్రహ్మజ్యోతి 75% ఇస్ త్రిపాద్ విభూతి అండ్ 25% ఇస్ ఏక్పాద్ విభూతి. యు నో దిస్ ఏక్పాద్ విభూతి అండ్ త్రిపాద్ విభూతి. ఏక్పాద్ విభూతి ఇస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్, త్రిపాద్ విభూతి ఇస్, త్రిపాద్ మీన్స్ త్రీ క్వార్టర్స్, 3 × 1/4, 3/4 లైక్ దట్. ది త్రిపాద్ విభూతి ఇస్ ది అంతరంగ శక్తి అండ్ ద ఏకపాద్ విభూతి ఇస్ ది బహిరంగ శక్తి అండ్ ద జీవా సార్థ తటస్థ శక్తి లైక్ దట్ ప్రభుపాద్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్. ఓకే, ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్లీ ప్రభుపాద్ ఇస్ మెన్షనింగ్ బికాస్ ద నెక్స్ట్ సెక్షన్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ టు డిస్కస్, వీఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు డిస్కస్ అబౌట్ దిస్ ఏక్పాద్ అండ్ త్రిపాద్ విభూతి. ఓకే, బికాస్ ఇఫ్ యు రిమెంబర్ 5th chapter బిగినింగ్, నారద ముని ఆస్క్డ్ అబౌట్ క్రియేషన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ స్టార్టింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద బిగినింగ్ ఆఫ్ 5th chapter టిల్ నౌ హాఫ్ ఆఫ్ 6th chapter ఇస్ ఓవర్. ఆల్మోస్ట్ 1.5 chapters బ్రహ్మాజీ హెస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ అబౌట్ క్రియేషన్, అబౌట్ ది పురుషావతారాస్, అబౌట్ దర్ జాబ్ బీయింగ్ క్రియేటింగ్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ యూనివర్స్ అండ్ సో ఆన్. సో మచ్ హెస్ బీన్ టోల్డ్ అబౌట్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ క్రియేషన్. సో నౌ బ్రహ్మాజీ వాంట్స్ టు రిమైండ్ నారద ముని దట్ డోంట్ థింక్ దట్ ఈవెన్ దో ఐ హ్యావ్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ సో మచ్ ఇన్ డీటెయిల్ అబౌట్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్, డోంట్ థింక్ దట్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్ ఇస్ ఆల్ ఇన్ ఆల్. డోంట్ థింక్ దట్ ద లార్డ్ హ్యాస్ నథింగ్ ఎల్స్ టు డూ అదర్ దాన్ టు క్రియేట్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ యూనివర్స్, మెయింటైన్ ఇట్ అండ్ డిస్ట్రాయ్ ఇట్. అండ్ డోంట్ థింక్ దట్ ఈస్ అటాచ్డ్ టు దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్. డోంట్ థింక్ దట్ క్రియేషన్, మెయింటెనెన్స్ అండ్ డిస్ట్రక్షన్ కాన్స్టిట్యూట్స్ ఆల్ ద యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆఫ్ ది సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్. సో ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు ఎంఫసైజ్ దట్ పాయింట్ హీ స్పీక్స్ దిస్ నెక్స్ట్ సెక్షన్ వేర్ హీ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు డిస్కస్ అబౌట్ దిస్ ఏక్పాద్ విభూతి అండ్ త్రిపాద్ విభూతి. సో హీ సేస్, సోమృతస్యాభయస్యేషో మర్త్యం అన్నం యదత్యగాద్ మహిమైష తతో బ్రహ్మన్ పురుషస్య దురత్యయః. ఓ బ్రహ్మన్, ఓ బ్రాహ్మణ, హూ ఇస్ అడ్రసింగ్ హూమ్? బ్రహ్మాజీ ఇస్ అడ్రసింగ్ నారదముని. సో ఇస్ అడ్రసింగ్ హిమ్ యాస్ ఓ బ్రాహ్మణ. సహ అమృతస్య అభయస్య ఈశ, దిస్ లార్డ్ అబౌట్ హూమ్ ఐ హ్యావ్ బీన్ డిస్క్రైబింగ్ ద ప్రీవియస్ వర్స్ సెడ్ దట్ హీ ఎనర్జైజెస్ అండ్ ఎంపవర్స్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్. So in this verse he says, Saha, that very same Lord, Amritasya Abhayasya Ishaha, that very same Lord is the Lord of Amrita and Abhaya. Amrita means spiritual bliss, Abhaya means that which is beyond material existence. Okay? So that very same Lord is the Lord of spiritual bliss which is beyond material existence. Why? యత్ మర్త్యం అన్నం అత్యగాత్, బికాస్ హీ సర్పాసెస్ మెటీరియల్ హ్యాపీనెస్. బికాస్ వన్ మే థింక్ దట్ ఓ ద లార్డ్ ఇస్ సో మచ్ ఇన్వాల్వ్డ్ ఇన్ మెటీరియల్ క్రియేషన్, దేర్ ఫోర్ హీ మస్ట్ ఆల్సో హ్యావ్ మెటీరియల్ ఫీలింగ్స్ యునో జస్ట్ లైక్ ఎనీ వన్ ఎల్స్, అండ్ హిస్ జ్యూరిస్డిక్షన్ మస్ట్ ఓన్లీ బీ దిస్ క్రియేటెడ్ మెటీరియల్ యూనివర్స్. బట్ హీ ఈస్ క్లారిఫైయింగ్ దిస్ పాయింట్ హియర్ బై మెన్షనింగ్ నో నో డోంట్ థింక్ లైక్ దట్. He is Amritasya Abhayasya Isha. He is the Lord of the spiritual world also. Esha Purushasya Mahima Duratyayah. To understand the extent of this Lord's prowess is very difficult. So this is the Bhagavatam verse. And this Bhagavatam verse also confirms a verse from Purusha Sukta. So which says, Utamritatvasyeshano yadannenatirohati etavanasya mahima ato jayamscha purushah. So I'll read the Purushasukta verse. You read the equivalent Bhagavatam verse. Okay? This is from Rig Veda. Utamritatvasyeshano somritasya abayasya isho. Same thing. Okay? Yadannenatirohati martyam annam yadatyagat. Atyagat means he surpasses. Same is, the equivalent is tirohati. Tirohati means he surpasses. Annena is martyam annam. Okay? Yad is same. Yad. Yad means because. Because he transcends the spiritual bliss beyond material existence. Etavan asya mahima ato jayamscha purushah. Mahimesha tato brahman purushasya duratyayah. Where is duratyayah indicated here? Jayams. It's very difficult to overcome or understand the prowess of this Supreme Personality of Godhead like that. So, Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, if material world is unimaginably large, then the spiritual world is three times bigger to this unimaginably large material universe. And also Prabhupada mentions four characteristics of the spiritual world. He says, it is fully blissful, it is fully eternal, there are no material inabilities, and it is self-illuminating. Natat bhasayate suryo na shashanko na pavakah yat gatva na nivartante tat gama paramam mama. And who stays in the spiritual world? Prabhupada says, the liberated people who have full knowledge, all godly material qualities are there, they have no material hankerings, they have nothing else to do but devotional service, they are ever youthful, all auspicious and infallible. These are the qualities of the residents of spiritual world that Prabhupada mentions in the purport. And also Prabhupada says in the purport, the Lord is Amrita, Amritasya Abhayasya Isha, as mentioned. The Lord is Amrita and He promises Amritatva to His devotees in Bhagavad Gita. Where does He say? Oh, that He talks about Brahman. But where in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna promise Amritatva to His devotees? Somritatvaya kalpate. Which verse is that? What is the beginning of that verse? That is one verse. Amritam ashnute. That is one. Another verse. And another place He says is Name bhakta pranashyati also He says. No death means Amritatva. Or 9.2 He says. What does He say? Kartum avyayam. Yeah. So like that, in many places He mentions, He promises Amritatva to His devotees also, like that. So basically Prabhupada is making this point that if someone can promise Amritatva, then he himself must be Amrita, like that. Okay. And also in the rest of the purport, Prabhupada differentiates between the kind of Isha or the Lord that the Supreme Lord is and the material masters. So he mentions that the Lord is willing to share all His qualities with His subordinates. The Lord is Amrita. He is willing to share that Amritatva with His devotees. The Lord has His own abode, which also He is willing to share it with His devotees. Salokya Mukti. The Lord has amazing, unlimited opulences, which also he is willing to share with his devotees, sarshti, like that. But mundane lords can never give the same facilities to their servants, nor can they bestow amritatva to their servants, because they themselves are not amrita. Also in the material world, time takes away everything. Therefore, there is constant anxiety in this material world. Sada samudvignadiyam. Constant anxiety. But that's not the case of the spiritual world. Spiritual world is abhaya. Abhayasya. Amritasya abhayasva ishaha. Like that. So then he continues. So who gets to stay in this ekpad vibhuti? And who gets to go to the tripad vibhuti? He describes this in the next verse. Padeshu sarva bhutani pumsastitipado viduhu amritam kshemam abhayam trimurdno dhaya murdasu. I think in the next verse he says that. In this verse he says, what is the nature of this tripad vibhuti? He says, the wise people know that sarva bhutani, all living entities, pumsaha padeshu stitipadaha, all living entities, according to their qualifications, some people are situated in tripad vibhuti, some people are situated in ekpad vibhuti. Okay, ultimately everyone stays in pada, in the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, either voluntarily or forcefully. Forcible people stay in the ekpad vibhuti, voluntary people stay in the tripad vibhuti. Okay, and what is the nature of this tripad vibhuti? Amritam kshemam abhayam. Amritam means eternity, kshemam means absence of sickness, and abhayam means freedom from fear of committing offense. Okay, so there is no scope of offense in the spiritual world. Amritam kshemam abhayam. Trimurdnoho, in the spiritual world, Murdasu, which is situated above the three gunas, which is situated transcendental to the three gunas. So some people stay, some people are put in the ekpad vibhuti and some people are put in the tripad vibhuti. That's what this verse talks about. And this verse also confirms another Purushukta verse. Padosya vishva bhutani tripadasya amritam divi. Pado asya vishvabhutani, some people stay in the pada, tripadasya, and other people stay in the tripad vibhuti, amritam, which is characterized by eternity. Same thing, same verse is repeated in Purushukta. So here Srila Prabhupada writes, the Lord has three energies, Sandini, Samvit and Hladini. What is Sandini potency? The Sat feature, the manifestation of this spiritual sky, that is Sandini. What is Samvit potency? Knowledge. And what is Hladini is pleasure potency. Okay, knowledge of one's the realization of the Supreme Lord is called Samvit potency, and the bliss that is generated out of that realization is called the Hladini potency. And when one reaches the stage of perfect spirituality, that is prema, that experience of knowledge and bliss is eternal. That is called Sandini potency. So therefore, if you read Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, it is described that when bhava appears, when one reaches the stage of bhava, first Sandini and Hladini, Samvit and Hladini potency first manifests in that person. He starts realizing the Supreme Lord, and he experiences the bliss of that realization. But that realization is not eternal. It's sporadic. It is not constant. He gets realization and that bliss. After some time, he loses it. And then he gets it, he loses it. So it is sporadic. Therefore, it is mentioned that only Sandini, Samvit and Hladini potency manifests at the stage of Bhava. But at the stage of Prema, it is the Sandini potency also manifests. That experience is consistent and constant. Santata Saukya Aswada Parayana, it is mentioned. It is constant experience of that bliss of realizing the Supreme Personality of God. It is there at the stage of Prema. So therefore, at the stage of Prema, there is Samvit, Sandini and Hladini. But at the stage of Bhava, there is, it is mentioned that only Samvit and Hladini potencies are manifest like that. Okay, we'll continue. So then one may say, why does the Supreme Lord put some living entities to suffer in this Ekpad Vibhuti? Why is he giving the privilege of enjoying the Tripad Vibhuti to some people? Is the Lord partial? Why some people have to suffer in this Ekpad Vibhuti, and why some living entities get to enjoy in the Tripad Vibhuti? Is the Lord involved in deciding who gets to go where? So that is described in this verse. He says, Padastrayo bahischasan aprajanam ya ashramaha antastrilokya stvaparo grihamedo brihadvrataha. Bahihi means beyond this material realm. Padastrayoscha asan lies this spiritual world, Tripad Vibhuti. Aprajanam ya ashrama. Praja means one who is forcefully made to take birth. Praja, prakrishta rupena jayate. One who is forcefully made to take birth because of his karma. Okay, so that is called praja. But in the, he says that padastrayoscha asan aprajanamya ashrama, but the Tripad Vibhuti is the ashrama of apraja, which means those who are not forced by their karma, which means liberated souls. The liberated souls get to stay in the Tripad Vibhuti, which means they have equipped themselves, or they have made themselves qualified for that place by destroying their karma. Aprajanam ya ashrama. Antaha, but within, antas trilokya, but within this Tripad Vibhuti, or which means inside the Tripad Vibhuti, which means Ekpad Vibhuti, aparo, on the other hand, grihamedo abrihadvrata, are the materialists. Grihamedis does not necessarily mean householders. Okay. And nor does the word grihamedi always have a negative connotation. In one of the Ramayana verses, Lord Ram is addressed as grihamedi. Ramaya grihamedine. That is one of the very popular verses glorifying Lord Ram. That verse ends with Ramaya grihamedine. So the word grihamedi is not necessarily has a negative connotation, but when used in conjunction with grihastha, it takes on a negative connotation. Okay, of course Lord Ram's griha is also the spiritual world. To be attached to the spiritual world is not bad also, but at the same time the word grihamedi does not necessarily always have a negative connotation, nor does the word grihamedi necessarily mean householders. As we saw the other time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur termed those residents of Math who were not interested in preaching, he called them matmedis. Or even in scriptures, when it talks about grihamedis, it does not talk about householders. It means people with materialistic outlook. They are addressed as grihamedis. Abrihadvrata means, of course, here Srila Vishwanatha Thakur says that brihadvrata, the greatest vrata, is bhakti. So abrihadvrata means people who are devoid of bhakti. Prabhupada says brihadvrata means brahmacharya, and abrihadvrata means those who are not trained properly in brahmacharya, like that. So Vishwanatha Thakur says that who can get to go to the spiritual world? Only those who have practiced bhakti. Okay, and Prabhupada of course translates abrihadvrata as one who is not properly trained in brahmacharya, and his purport also follows in that same line. Prabhupada says that the climax of the varnashram dharma is expressed in this verse. What is climax? Ultimate goal, yeah, or ultimate the pivotal aspect. What is the highest benefit that can be awarded to a human being? Prabhupada says training in celibacy. Why? He says because sex life is the main cause of rebirth. Therefore, human civilization that has no control on sex life is fourth class civilization. Brahmachari training is very pivotal in attaining the Tripad Vibhuti. It is not the only requirement, but it is a pivotal requirement. Only by training in Brahmacharya one cannot go to the Tripad Vibhuti, but it is one of the very important parameters. Such a Brahmachari can easily quit home when he is 50, which means Prabhupada is talking about such a Brahmachari after getting Brahmachari training gets married and he quits home when he is 50. Panchashordvam vanam rajet. Therefore, any religious system which trains the followers in celibacy is good. Such a system, be it Mayavad or Shunyavad or Vaishnavism, can help end material life. Prabhupada says whether that system, whether it is Mayavad or Shunyavad or Vaishnavism, can help end material life. This is like a very strange statement. Generally, Prabhupada is Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. That Prabhupada is telling that doesn't matter whether it is Mayavad or Shunyavad or Vaishnavism, if that system trains one in celibacy, then it can help end material life. But the problem is, Mayavad and Shunyavad will end material life, but then will not give another place to stay, Vaishnavism, gives one the abode of the Supreme Lord. That's what Prabhupada is mentioning here. He says, but the higher degree of success is there in Vaishnavism. Therefore, there should be no secret sex life for brahmacharis. Brahmacharis, vanaprasthas and sannyasis. This will be compensated by rebirth in an aristocratic family. So if one takes up the spiritual path at the same time, he is not able to control his sexual urges, Prabhupada says that it will be compensated by rebirth in a Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe. In a household which is favorable for spiritual practice, he will be born. Which means rebirth is there, but whatever spiritual practice he has done, he will be allowed to continue it. But if he has to ultimately quit this material world, he has to give up sex desire. So therefore, Prabhupada is emphasizing that, your spiritual credits will not go, but you will have to take birth again. So therefore, proper training in brahmacharya is essential, like that Prabhupada is emphasizing here. So then, one may say, ठीक है. सो इफ द इफ बाय टेकिंग द पाथ ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस वन गोज टू द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड एंड इफ बाय नॉट टेकिंग अप टू डिवोशनल सर्विस इफ वन गोज टू द or if one stays in the material world, what is it that inspired, what is it that inspires someone to take up to devotional service and someone not? What inspires some people to go to the Tripad Vibhuti and what inspires other people to stay in this Ekpad Vibhuti? So that he mentions in this next verse. He says, Sriti vichakrame vishvan shasana nashane ube yada vidyacha vidyacha पुरुषस्तोभयाश्रयः. विश्वन, विश्वन मीन्स द रेसिडेंट ऑफ दिस विश्व, लाइक वी से आईआईटीएन, लाइक दैट. विश्वन मीन्स रेसिडेंट ऑफ दिस विश्व. यद अविद्या च विद्या च, व्हेन ही इज क्वालिफाइड बाय ईदर अविद्या और विद्या, he takes up to these two different paths. Ube sriti vichakrame. Vichakrame means he walks. He walks on this ube sriti. Sriti means path. Ube sriti means these two paths. Which are these two paths? Shasana, anashana. Shasana means the path of enjoyment. Anashana means the path of liberation. Ashana means to eat. Anashana means to starve. So Anashana Sriti refers to Nivritti Marg. Shasana Sriti means where someone wants to control and enjoy. That is the path of Pravritti Marg. So if the Vishwan, the living entity, endowed with Vidya, takes the path of Anashana, then he goes to Tripad Vibhuti. If the Vishwan endowed with avidya takes the path of shasana sriti, then he goes to, he stays in the material world. Ekpad vibhuti. Like that. Purushastu ubhayashraya. But understand that the Lord is the ashraya of both Tripad vibhuti and Ekpad vibhuti. Like that he says. So it is the living entity. It is the living entity's exercising his free will in the right way or the wrong way that decides whether he goes to Ekpad, whether he goes to Tripad Vibhuti or stays in Ekpad Vibhuti. And the Lord is not the cause of his, of one staying in the material world or in the spiritual world. If the living entity, by the path of Vidya, he takes the path of Anashana, he goes to Tripad Vibhuti. But there is a very important clarification that needs to be given here, which Vishwanathacharya Thakur points out in his commentary. He says that this is just like telling, if I have to go to Howrah station, okay, so first I need to go out of this temple complex and then maybe take a taxi or something. Okay, it is like telling, if you have to go to Howrah station, you have to go out of the temple. Sitting inside the station, you cannot go to Howrah station. Sitting inside the temple, you cannot go to the Howrah station. You have to go out of the temple. But one should not think that by merely going out of the temple, I am already in Howrah station. Okay? I have just gotten out of the temple. Next, I have to catch a taxi and pay him and ask him to take you to Howrah station. Okay? So similarly, by vidya potency alone, one cannot achieve liberation. That is the point that is being mentioned here. I will read it. So he says, but actually, the Tripad Vibhuti, this is Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur writing, but actually the Tripad Vibhuti can be attained by bhakti only. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvatah tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. Krishna says, only by bhakti can one understand Krishna and attain Krishna. But this vidya potency, if you remember, we discussed this last time, vidya potency is part of Vidya potency is a part of Mahamaya. It is not a part of Yogamaya. Both Vidya and Avidya are part of Mahamaya only. Mahamaya has three parts. Avidya, Vidya and Pradhan. Pradhan offers the various things that the living entity can identify with. And Avidya potency makes the living entity identify with all the gross and subtle objects. Okay, I am this body, I am American, I am Russian, I am Indian, like that. And the Vidya potency makes him identify with his real self. You are not this body, you are spirit soul. Till that point, Vidya potency can take. But after that, if one has to realize his original true constitutional position of Krishnera Nityadas, that can be realized only by taking shelter of bhakti. So therefore, one has to take shelter of Vidya potency along with bhakti in order to reach Tripad Vibhuti. Just like one has to get out of this temple and take a taxi in order to reach Howrah station. Okay, both are important. But to take a taxi is very critical. Okay, you cannot walk all the way till Howrah station. It's possible, but you have to start one day early. If your train is tomorrow, you have to start today only. So like that. So but the point is, it is mentioned here that by taking shelter of avidya, one cannot go to the spiritual world, Tripad Vibhuti. One has to take shelter of vidya. But here the acharyas clarify, only for the sake of comparison, it is mentioned like this. But really to go to the spiritual world, vidya alone is not possible. One has to take shelter of bhakti. That's what is mentioned. Purushastu Ubayashraya. But the Lord is the shelter of both the Ekpad Vibhuti and Tripad Vibhuti. So, and of course, this verse is also proving another verse from the Purushasukta. Tato Vishwan Vyakramat Shasananashane Abhi. Tato Vishwan, the same word Vishwan is used. Vyakramat. Vyakramat is Vichakrame. Shasana anashane abhi. Sometimes it takes the path of shasana, enjoyment, and goes to, stays in the Ekpad Vibhuti. Anashane, he takes the path of restraint or the nivritti mark, and he gets to go to the spiritual world like that. Then he says, Yasmadandam virajagye bhutendriya gunatmakah tadravyam matyagad vishvam gobis surya ivatapan. So he says, my dear Narada Muni, even though I have spoken so much about the Supreme Lord being the cause of creation, being the material cause, the effective cause of creating this material universe, but I want to clarify something here. He says that even though so much description has gone in, but in actuality, the Supreme Lord is not at all attached to this material world. In fact, he has nothing to do with this material world. He is attached to the spiritual world. So therefore, hearing so much description about the Ekpad Vibhuti, don't think that the Lord's job is only to create, maintain and destroy this Ekpad Vibhuti. The Lord is not even attached to this material universe. That he is indicating by this verse. He says that Yasmadandam Virat Jagnye Bhutendriya Gunatmakaha. The Lord created this Virat Purusha. So whenever Vaishnavas hear Lord manifested the Virat Purusha, our understanding is Lord created this universe. Because we understand there is nothing called Virat Purusha. It is imaginary. But what constitutes the Virat Purusha is not imaginary. The ingredients which make the body of this imaginary Purusha, that is not imaginary. The ingredients are there, but some people imagine these ingredients to come together to form the body of an imaginary Purusha. So therefore, whenever scriptures talk about the Virat Purusha manifested, we understand the universe manifested. That is our understanding. Okay. So, he says that Yasmadandam Virat Jagye Bhutendriya Gunatmaka Tad Dravyam Atyagad Vishwam Gobis Surya Ivatapun. He says that the Lord creating this universe is like Lord Surya Narayan illuminating a part of this universe. When Lord Surya Narayan wants to illuminate a part of this universe, he does not personally come and illuminate. He just sends his sun rays. Gobihi. While he himself stays in that sun planet. He stays in sun planet, but he sends his sun's rays. In the same way, when the Lord wants to create, he just sends his energies. He is not directly involved in creation. So that's what is gobihi, means the sun rays. But the Lord himself stays in his abode. Goloka eva nivasatya kilatma bhuto. So therefore, this indicates that however great this process of creation may be, the Lord deputes it. But however simple the job may be in the spiritual world, Krishna never deputes it. He does it personally. Making this whole universe float, or to hold this all these universes, he deputes it to his energies. But to carry Nanda Maharaj's slippers, he doesn't depute it. He personally carries. Or sometimes to carry Sridhama on his shoulders, he personally carries. But to carry the universes, he says, you know, it's too easy a job. You know, he deputes it to his energies. Gobi Surya Ivatapan. Just like Surya Narayan deputes the job of illuminating individual universes to his sun rays, he doesn't bother to personally come and illuminate each and every place. Similarly, the Lord deputes this whole creation, maintenance and destruction of this material universe to his energies. Then one may ask, why do the scriptures talk about the Lord being the creator, maintainer and destroyer if he does not personally do it? The reason is, if it is not explicitly mentioned, people will wrongly conclude that the material nature is the independent creator, maintainer and destroyer. Only for that purpose, the scriptures talk about the Lord being the creator, maintainer and destroyer. Yes, Prabhu.
We hear the statement many times, Lord creates through his energies, but we just now we discuss that Lord expands as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and as Shirodakshaya Vishnu, and then as Paramatma is within everyone's heart, between every atom and within every atom. So much Lord is doing. So how is it that all?
See, that's why the scriptures sort of balance. When we come to the 10th chapter of the second canto, there is an explicit verse which says, the Lord does nothing actually in this material world. But the scriptures talk about the Lord being the creator. He says, pratishedartam. Because if it is not explicitly mentioned, people will conclude that the material nature is the independent creator. Actually, material nature is only the creator. Lord is not. But the material nature is whose energy? It is the Lord's energy. In that sense, the Lord is the creator. But the Lord is not at all interested in personally creating it. So he deputes it. But if the deputation, if the creation by the energy is overly emphasized by the scriptures, then the very quickly the people will come to the conclusion that ultimately material nature creates everything. Already with the scriptures not emphasizing that aspect so much, still so many people are, most people think that material nature is the creator. On top of that, if the scriptures also emphasize that deputation part so much, then all it would be all the more easier for people to conclude that the material nature is the creator. That's the reason why the Lord as the creator is emphasized.
But it is also reality that the Lord comes personally as expansion. It's not that just his energies are working. He personally expands as Mahavishnu and Garbhodaksha Vishnu, Thirudaksha Vishnu.
He expands, but still he engages his energies to do it. He expands, but still his Bhinna Prakriti is separated energies are used to actually get the job done. He doesn't personally do it.
In the sense that we cannot say that only through his energies is, looks too much extreme statement.
That's how the scriptures explain. Second canto, we will, when we see the 10th chapter verse, I'll show you that verse in that it's mentioned. To the point is, whether it is 99% or 98%, not in that sense. The point is, the Lord has better things to do. He is attached to performing certain things in relation to his pure devotees. Whatever is in relation to his pure devotees, he is attached to do. He wants to personally do it. He does not want to depute it. But when it comes to rebellious souls, Lord still wants to take care of them, but he deputes it to someone. Whether it is 100% deputation or 98% deputation, and whatever it may be, but the principle is that the Lord is more interested in activities of his internal energy than the activities of external energy. That's the point.
Can we say that same point that Lord as Bhagavan does not intervene in the material world, Lord as Paramatma and Brahman is taking care? So
the point is, all these Purushavataras are Paramatma expansions only. The point here is, even as Paramatma expansions, there is only to a, it's only to a very limited extent that the Lord is personally involved in the form, in the matters of creation, maintenance and destruction. Even though it is attributed to the Purushavataras, but still, even as Purushavataras, their personal involvement is very minimal. It is only their energies which get it done. Like that. But at least awareness of what is happening is attributed to the Purushas. But then the actual getting it done is carried over, carried out by the energies only and not the Purusha himself. That's what is mentioned. I was wondering how come till now you have not asked anything. Yes, bro. Otherwise it would have felt little incomplete for me to. Yes.
Side question, Prabhupada. Like we were mentioning about Surya Narayan.
Yeah.
That he sits in one place and then the energies are through the sun rays and sunlight it is here.
Yeah.
I was just curious to know the difference in the role of Surya Narayan and Surya Dev. Surya Narayan and Surya Dev.
Surya Narayan and Surya Dev.
Yeah.
What is the difference you are asking?
Roles.
What is their role? See, like we saw previously, every sense has a worshipable deity and a what do you call sense devatas? Presiding deity and worshipable deity. The presiding deity actually gets the job done, But that presiding deity is, he reports to the worshipable deity. Like for example, mind. For mind, the presiding deity is Chandra. But the worshipable deity is Aniruddha. Similarly, for intelligence, the presiding deity is Brahmaji. The worshipable deity is Pradyumna. Like that. So similarly, even for planets also, there is a presiding deity and a worshipable deity. So my understanding is, the presiding deity is Surya Dev, and the worshipable deity must be Surya Narayan. Generally, the worshipable deity is Vishnu Tattva, and the presiding deity is a Jiva Tattva. Like that. Okay, so basically he had described about how the Supreme Lord is both the material and effective cause of this universe. So now, and he also mentioned after that, don't think that this material world is all in all. There is the spiritual world where the Lord is very much personally involved in performing various activities to please his devotees. In that sense, he described the Ekpad and Tripad Vibhuti. So now, in this third section now, Brahmaji is going to share his own personal experience, Pratyaksha. Because ultimately, Shabda is good to only start with. The ultimate Praman is not Shabda Praman. The ultimate Praman is Pratyaksha Praman only. Okay? How much ever you may read about Gulab Jamun, but ultimately when you taste it only, you feel satisfied and you feel happy. Okay? But because the Shabda Praman that we speak about talks about something which at the current stage we cannot have a Pratyaksha, therefore to bridge we need Shabda. But through Shabda, once our senses become purified, ultimately that Pratyaksha has to be there. That's why Bhakti is called Pratyaksha Vagamam. If it was only Shabda Vagamam, then we will not get any faith. Ultimately, when we progress in spiritual life, whatever Shabda we read has to transform into Pratyaksha. Only that will reinforce our faith. Ultimately, if for everything, every question, you cannot just quote from Shabda. It's not very convincing. Something which is given in Shabda, we must have experienced by practice. Then we can give a very convincing argument. So therefore, Brahmaji has mentioned, you know, Shabdas say that from Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu's eyes come this, from his legs come this. But now, he is compelled to present his Pratyaksha. Now I will show that how I had a personal experience of this. So that you can understand that how the Lord is the material cause of this universe. I could see it. So he, in this next section, he is going to explain this. So he says, Yadasya nabhyan nalinad aham asam mahatmanah navidam yajna sambharan purushavayavan rite. Yada, once upon a time, Brahmaji is narrating, aham asam, once upon a time I appeared, asya mahatmanah nabhyan nalinad. On that Mahatmas, who is the Mahatma mentioned here? Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. From that Mahatma's Nabi appeared a lotus. On top of that lotus, I appeared. Brahmaji is sharing with Narada Muni. Navidam yajna sambharan purusha avayavan rite. So he says that I did not see anything else other than the limbs of the Supreme Lord. Navidam yajna sambharan. Somehow Krishna gave me the intelligence that now I must worship the Supreme Lord by performing some yajna, by performing some sacrifice. So I thought, okay, let me collect the ingredients needed for the sacrifice and perform the sacrifice. I saw I could not see any ingredients. All I could see was the bodily limbs of this Purusha. Which Purusha? Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. So, what does it mean that Brahmaji could not see? Okay, I'll give you an example. Let's see, let's say an ant is crawling on my dhoti. So, the ant, because it has such a short vision, it cannot see much beyond. So, he is seeing orange strand, orange strand, orange strand, one orange strand after another strand. So, he is thinking that maybe this whole earth is made of orange, orange strands like that. So, because that's what he is used to seeing, and for probably if it crawls for 1 hour or 2 hours on my dhoti, it's almost like half of his lifespan. So he thinks that probably this whole earth is made of only orange, orange strands. Okay. Suddenly, let's say a bird comes and picks up that ant and puts it on the top of the chandelier. Okay. And the ant gets to see from the top of that chandelier its source, the orange dhoti. So, and he gets a bird's eye view of this whole thing. So, he understands, yes, that orange-orange strand that is there, but that is actually a dhoti, which is worn by a person, okay, and who is not static, he also moves around, okay, and this orange strand is not all in all, but it is only a part of, you know, something much bigger than that. So when this ant is getting that bird's eye view, then he understands, you know, the overall picture. So this is called samashti vision and vyashti vision. So the samashti vision is getting the bird's eye view. So not that Brahmaji was not seeing the ingredients, he was seeing how all these ingredients come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmaji was given that vision. We are also seeing the same ingredients that Brahmaji saw, but Brahmaji saw the limbs of the Supreme Lord being the source of that ingredients, but we are seeing the ingredients, but we are not able to see the source of those ingredients. So therefore, Brahmaji was given that vision. That's what he is mentioning here. Navidam yagya sambaran purusha avayavan rite. Rite means except for the purusha's avayava, except for the limbs of this purusha, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, I could not see any other ingredients. Which means, it's not that he was not seeing the ingredients. He was very much seeing all the ingredients, but he could see that all the ingredients were coming from the bodily limbs of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Just like the, not that suddenly the ant is no longer able to see the dhoti, orange strand. He is able to see the dhoti, and he is also able to see that this dhoti belongs to a person, and that person is also a part of a big community and all of that. If that ant gets that vision, I don't know, sitting on that chandelier, if it can see all of that. But, you know, let's hypothetically assume that it can see. Then it gets the bird's eye view of the whole thing. So that bird's eye view is what is mentioned here. So one should not think that suddenly there were no ingredients for sacrifice. So he... That's what it means, that here it seems like Brahmaji is mentioning some inability. Here, by mentioning that I could not see any ingredients. But what he is actually mentioning here is his super ability to actually see all the ingredients as coming from the body of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Even though he is mentioning, he is not able to see any ingredients. Actually, he is seeing all the ingredients, which will become clear in the next verse. Okay, he is seeing all the ingredients. So what Brahmaji does, he collects all the ingredients from the bodily parts of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu and prepares a sacrificial arena, performs the sacrifice, and then for the pleasure of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Yeah, you can say he is overwhelmed by the greatness of the Lord, or rather he is overwhelmed by knowing the Lord to be the source of, let's say if you have heard so much about, say Mayapur. For 10 years, I remember when I was in United States, when I just got in touch with the devotees, I got an opportunity to go to New Vrindavan. So it was like a very amazing experience for me. It's like a huge farm community and beautiful temples and everything. So I used to share about this experience with my sister, who didn't have a very opportunity to associate with devotees because of her situation. So she was in India, so I used to share. Okay, New Vrindavan was like this. I could do this in New Vrindavan, like that. And she was imagining. It was Shabda Praman for her. Later, you know, she got an opportunity to, her company sent her for on-site work, where she could stay there for 2 years. So then she took that opportunity to visit New Vrindavan herself. But the 10 years impression of what she has heard, you know, when she got that pratyaksha, she was like completely overwhelmed. Brahmaji knew that the Lord is the material cause of this universe, but this was like something which he never expected. He never thought that he could get this kind of a pratyaksha of the Lord being the source of this material universe. Okay, he could actually see the Lord's body being the source of all these ingredients. That's what is mentioned here. So, here Srila Prabhupada writes, after Brahmaji was born, he wanted to perform sacrifices to please the Lord. But he could not find any ingredients except the bodily limbs. Therefore, Brahmaji created everything from the bodily limbs of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Therefore, Krishna says, Matta Sarvam Pravartate. That's exactly what it means. Matta Sarvam Pravartate. From me, everything emanates. From my bodily limbs, everything comes. But people might argue that then there is no use of worshipping the Lord when everything is nothing but the Lord Himself. If everything is the limb of the Lord, then why do I have to specifically visit the temple to worship the Supreme Lord? Prabhupada says, but a devotee worships the Lord out of a sense of gratitude. He wants to express his gratitude to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you can express your gratitude to a person. Even though this, you may say that this is a part of the hand of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, but you cannot go and express to the hand. You want to express it to a complete person. You can express your emotions. You cannot exchange emotions with hand. You can exchange emotions with the possessor of the hand, you know, one who, the full personality. So therefore Prabhupada says, a devotee goes to a temple and to express his gratitude to the personality, like that. Okay, like that. So let's continue. Teshu yajnasya pashava savanaspataya kushaha idam chajeva yajanam kalas choro gunanvitaha vastunyoshadayasneha rasaloha mridojalam richoyajomshi samani chatur hotram chasattama namadheyani mantrascha dakshinascha vratanicha devatanukramakalpa sankalpastantrameva cha. So he says, by using the limbs of the Lord, I assembled the following ingredients. So in the previous verse he said, I could not see anything else but the limbs. Now he says, using these limbs, I collected all the ingredients. What did he collect? The sacrificial animals, pose, kushagras, proper time, plates, utensils, rice, ghee, gold, earth, verses of the Rig, Yajur, Samaveda. See, all these ingredients are needed to perform sacrifice. And he could see the Lord's body being the source of all these ingredients. So he collected. So which means he collected all these means he could see the ingredients. If he could not see the ingredients, how could he collect these ingredients? Isn't it? Does it make sense? So not that he could not see, he saw, but he saw it in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He didn't see all these ingredients disconnected from the Supreme Lord. He could see all these ingredients in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay? Like that. So that's what he did. So he performed, he worshipped the Supreme Lord by using all these ingredients. Something wrong with you.
Hare Krishna. Can it also mean that because everything is he seeing in connection to Lord, so if you want to worship someone, you have to worship with something separate from that person. If I want to give somebody something, then it should be something other than that person. So because he's thinking that everything is belonging to Lord only, so how can I, like...
Yeah, he's having that feeling also. I mean, it is like Prabhupada mentions in the purport about offering Ganges water to Ganga. I mean, you're not offering in one sense anything...
Something new.
You are offering Ganges water only to Ganga. In a similar way, Brahmaji was also feeling, my God, actually, what can I offer to the Supreme Lord? Everything actually belongs to the Supreme Lord. See, it's one thing about Shabda. Brahmaji knew it. But when he actually saw, it was like a different experience for him. Literally, you know, I don't know. We cannot explain how his exact vision. But the Lord gave him that vision to see it like that. Yes, bro.
Unconscious of Lord being the owner, just seeing the or something else means.
It is not just realization, it is actually pratyaksha. Literally he could see. That's what is mentioned here. I could see only the bodily limbs of the Supreme Lord and he could collect it. So realization, probably he already, I cannot say whether Brahmaji had a realization before or not, but definitely here he is sharing his pratyaksha. I could literally see it. Otherwise, if this was also something like, if he is sharing his realization, it must be his realization of Shabda Praman only, na? Which he has already stated. He need not repeat the same thing again. But here he is talking about literally collecting those ingredients and performing sacrifice. Many such sacrifices he would have already performed. Nothing new about it. But on this particular day, the Lord gave him the vision to actually see the Lord being the source of all these ingredients. So this is more like pratyaksha. This is my understanding.
Gatayo matayaschaiva prayaschittam samarpanam purushavayavairete sambharasambhritamaya.
By using the limbs of the Lord, I assembled the movements, the prayers, the atonements and the final offering. So the movements indicates that in a sacrifice, Vishnu Chakravarti mentions that the yajaman of the sacrifice takes three steps to, you know, consummate that sacrifice to before offering the oblations or something like that. So that's what is mentioned. So whatever is mentioned here indicates various aspects or various ingredients of the sacrifice, which he, the point is, he collected all those ingredients from the limbs of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Iti samrita sambhara purushavaya vairaham tameva purusham yajnam tenai vajyam tenai vayajam ishvaram. By these ingredients assembled through the limbs of the Lord, iti purusha avayavair samvrita sambhara. Sambhara means the sacrificial ingredients. Samvrita means to collect. After thus collecting all the sacrificial ingredients from the purusha avayava, from the limbs of the Supreme Lord, aham ayajam yajnam, I performed a yajna, tameva purusham ishvaram, in order to worship that very same Ishvara from whose body I collected all these bodily parts, all these ingredients. Tataste brat, of course, this verse also is a proof for another Purushasukta verse. Yat purushena havisha deva yajanam atanvata. Havisha means ingredients. Purushena havisha means using the purusha as the havish. Using Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu as the oblations, I offered oblations to the same Purusha. Yat Purushena Havisha Deva Yajnam Atanvata. This is what Purushasukta says. Same thing. Purushena Havisha here means Brahmaji collected the ingredients from the bodily limbs of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu and offered it back in worship to Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Tataste brataraya me prajanam patayo nava ayajan vyaktam avyaktam purusham so samahitaha. Then tataha, thereafter, te ime bratara, these brothers of yours, prajapatinam patayo nava, who are the nine prajapatis who are your brothers, so samahitaha, with concentrated minds, ayajan vyaktam avyaktam purusham. They worship the vyaktam avyaktam purusham. Vyaktam means the manifested purusha, which is the Indra and the other devatas whom they could see, and avyaktam purusham, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, whom I could see but they could not see. It was avyaktam for them, because Brahmaji says that purusha avayavan rite, I could not see anything except the limbs of the Lord, which means he could see the limbs, he could understand when he was performing his oblations, when he was offering oblations, he could see that he was collecting the ingredients from the limbs of the Lord and offering it back to him. But when te ime bratara, but when your brothers performed that same yajna, they were also offering oblations, the same oblations to the Purusha, but that Purusha was avyakta for them. They did not get that vision. I got that vision. They were worshipping the Supreme Lord using the same ingredients, but they could not realize that they were collecting the ingredients from the bodily parts of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. But I could see them collecting. Brahmaji could see. Just like, you know, one person having that bird's eye view, another person not having that bird's eye view. Huh? So, it's like you can say, someone seeing himself inside a room, but inside that room, you know, you have a monitor which shows the CCTV footage. But another person has no access to that. So that person only sees the room, but the other person sitting in front of the CCTV in that same room, he sees himself, but also sees himself in relation to the whole place, and, you know, that's something like that kind of vision. So for these devatas, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu was avyakta. But Brahmaji could see that
these prajapatis were also collecting the ingredients from the body of Garbhodakasaya Vishnu only. But they could not see. For them, he was avyakta. When, hierarchy wise, I am not very sure whether the prajapatis were superior to Indras, but definitely when a sacrifice is performed, there is a portion for all the devatas. Since devatas. Every sacrifice, a portion, the main portion is offered to the Supreme Lord, and the remnants, there is a portion for Indra, a portion for Soma. So all the demigods, they come and collect their portions. My understanding is this must refer to that. So then, tatascha manavakkale ijire rishayo pare pitaro vibhuda daitya manushya kratubhir vibhum tataha. Thereafter, manavaha, the manus, apare rishayah, the other rishis, pitaro vibhuda daitya, the pitrus, the devatas, the daityas, manushyaha, the human beings, kale, at different times, ijire vibhum, they also collected the ingredients from the bodily parts of Garbhodakasaya Vishnu only and worshipped that same Lord through sacrifice. Okay? They also could not realize. I could see it. I am able to see it now also. But he is telling a historical account that first I got that vision and after that I could see subsequently whoever was performing these sacrifices, they were actually collecting the ingredients from Garbhodakasaya Vishnu's body only and offering it back to him in sacrifice, like that. Okay, so thus with this verse, Brahmaji narrates to Narada Muni his own pratyaksha praman of how the Lord is the material cause of this universe. So, now, yes, Prabhu. He needs the mic.
Prabhu, here you are saying that all these manushya, devata, they collected the materials, the sacrificial ingredients from Garbhodakasaya Vishnu. But they could not see the Lord. Now,
nor did they know that they were collecting it from Garbhodakasaya Vishnu's body. Even now, when we are collecting it from Garbhodakasaya Vishnu's body only. But we do not have that vision.
So then, where is the matter of the parampara system that is coming from, like Brahma took it from Garbhodakasaya Vishnu, should have given to the downward generation. Why everyone is taking it from Garbhodakasaya Vishnu?
See, not in the sense. See, everyone is already collecting it from Garbhodakasaya Vishnu's body only. What is being described here is Garbhodakasaya Vishnu's is the material cause of this universe, which means the matter which the universe is made of. It literally comes from Garbhodakasaya Vishnu's body. Brahmaji was given the vision to see how. Others do not have that vision. That's what is the meaning. It comes from Garbhodakasaya Vishnu's navel. But even otherwise, the matter that we see here is a reflection or the material vibhuti of Garbhodakasaya Vishnu's body only. Yeah, it is like I would say, when you look at a video which shows a particular video with various ingredients, let's say grapes and with different fruits and ice creams. Okay. What is the source of that? The source of that is real grapes, real oranges, real mango, real ice cream. It was shot using a video camera and it is seen on the screen. Okay. So the real grapes, real everything is Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu's limbs, which are spiritual. Okay. But what we see as ingredients in this material world, the source of it is what? The real grapes only. But then, is the grapes that you see here real? Source is real, but what access we have to is not real, in that sense that it is not spirit, it is made of matter. That is the point. The source is real. Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu is the source of matter. But his bodily limbs itself is not made of matter. Okay? The closest analogy that I could think of is this. You know, you see a video of all these fruits. The source of all that is real fruits only. Real fruits were only shot using a video camera. The source is real. But what you see, even though the source is real, but what you see is and have access to is an image. But we do not question the source. The source is definitely real. That is the point. Of course, I am oversimplifying the whole thing. In actuality, how it happens, you know, we do not know. But then, at least from whatever is given, it is something like this. This is my understanding. So anyway, so now, Rupa, here Brahmaji is continuing. Already we have seen Yad Rupam, Yad Adhishtanam, Yat Srishtam. These three were answered in the previous chapter. And in this verse, already Yat Cha. What are the material ingredients of this universe? The material ingredients of universe is nothing but the bodily limbs of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu that we have seen. Okay, so two questions are still unanswered. Can you recollect which question we have not answered? Which are the two questions which are unanswered till now? Where it rests, yet samstam, after destruction, where does the universes go and rest? And yet param, who is the supreme controller, all said and done? Who is your controller also, he wanted to know. So those questions will be answered now. He says, he again gets back to Adhishtanam, even though it was answered in the fifth chapter, Narayana Paraveda Deva Narayana Angaja, but still he comes again to answer the same question. Narayane Bhagavati Tadidam Vishwamahitam Grihitamayoru Gunaha Sargadav Agunasvataha. He says, Tadidam Vishwamahitam, this universe is situated in Narayane Bhagavati. This universe is situated in Lord Narayan, which means he is the shelter of this universe. Agunaha Svataha. Svataha means by nature. Svatatriptasya, we say Svataha. Svataha means by nature, Lord Narayan is Agunaha. He is not, he has no gunas, material gunas. Sarga Adav, but for the purpose of Sarga, Stiti and Pralaya, for the purpose of creation, maintenance and destruction. Uru Gunaha, for those purposes he accepts many gunas. Then one may say, then the Lord is Gunamayi, you cannot say he is Nirguna. He says, Grihita Maya. He says, through the agency of Maya, he accepts the gunas, not directly. Let's say, for example, you go to a particular company and you go to the boss and he says, you know what, actually I am very urgently in need of O positive blood.
Can you please give me O positive blood? He says, sure, why not? Just wait. And then he goes in the company intercom or whatever announcement system. He says, can you please, whoever has O positive blood, can you immediately convene at my office? So suddenly some 4 or 5 people come and he says, okay, whatever blood you need, you can take O positive blood. So he takes the O positive blood and he comes out. And yes, अरे किधर से मिला O positive blood? अरे इनके पास गया, उनसे O positive मिला. वो चेक करते हैं. अरे उसका तो A positive है. If he is A positive, how could he give O positive blood? He himself did not give, but his employees, some of his employees had O positive blood. He called them, through them he gave. So the Lord is, he controls the three gunas, he possesses three gunas, uruguna, but through the agency of maya, grihita maya, sargadav, for the purpose of creation, maintenance and destruction, he accepts the three gunas through the agency of maya. So therefore he is still nirguna only, he is not saguna. That's how he remains saguna, because he accepts the three modes through the agency of maya, not directly, like that. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport, material causes to creation, maintenance and destruction is only a superficial observation by the material scientists. So Prabhupada says that to conclude that everything is created by matter is only a superficial observation. The Lord accepts the three modes in the form of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva for these purposes. Prabhupada gives a nice example. He says, a rich man uses his energies to construct and destroy his house, but he prefers the maintenance to be under his own direct care. So Prabhupada says, why does Lord Vishnu maintain? He says, he may use some mestris and engineers to construct. To destroy, he may employ some bulldozers or whatever. But to maintain that house, he personally does. Similarly, maintenance of this material world is directly under the care of Lord Vishnu, like that. So just 2 more verses, we'll complete this section and then we can take the rest of the chapter in the afternoon session.
That he wants to deal with his pure devotee in the spiritual world.
But see, again here it means Vishnu again through the agency of his energies. But even that creation and destruction that he deputes to, see, when Brahmaji's creation is mentioned, Brahmaji is mentioned as a creator, what he creates is the body of the living entities. But the universe itself is not created by Brahma. The universe itself is, created by Karanodakasai Vishnu through the agency of his Maya Shakti. But ultimately, even when it is mentioned that Lord Vishnu himself maintains, it means like telling Dhirubhai Ambani, he deputed this part of his company to his son Anil and this part to his son Mukesh, but this he himself took care, this part he himself means personally. It's not that he was involved in personally making every single unit, but he personally also means through his energies only, not literally personally. That's what it means. So then he answers the next question, Yat Param, who is the ultimate? Who is the ultimate controller? He says, Srijami Tanne Yukto Ham Haro Harati Tad Vashaha
విశ్వం పురుష రూపేణ పరిపాతి త్రిశక్తి దృక్ సృజామి తద్ నియుక్తో అహం ఐ క్రియేట్ అండర్ హిస్ ఆర్డర్ హరో హరతి తద్వశః లార్డ్ శివ డిస్ట్రాయ్స్ దిస్ యూనివర్స్ అండర్ హిస్ ఆర్డర్ విశ్వం పురుష రూపేణ పరిపాతి త్రిశక్తి దృక్ హోల్డింగ్ ఇస్ త్రీ ఎనర్జీస్ హీ ప్రొటెక్ట్స్ ద యూనివర్స్ యాజ్ ది పరమాత్మ హీ మెయింటైన్స్ దిస్ యూనివర్స్ ఆర్ ప్రొటెక్ట్స్ దిస్ యూనివర్స్ ఇన్ హిస్ పరమాత్మ ఫీచర్ లైక్ దట్ సో దేర్ ఫోర్ హీ ఈస్ ది అల్టిమేట్ బాస్ ఈవన్ దో వన్ మే సే బ్రహ్మ విష్ణు శివ బట్ బ్రహ్మాజీ అండ్ లార్డ్ శివ దే క్రియేట్ అండ్ డిస్ట్రాయ్ ఓన్లీ అండర్ ద ఆర్డర్ ఆఫ్ విష్ణు సో హీ ఈస్ ది అల్టిమేట్ బాస్ ఆధ్యాత్మిక్ అది భౌతిక్ అండ్ అది దైవిక్ ఆర్ ఐల్ జస్ట్ టెల్ యా ఇట్స్ 32 రైట్ 32 దిస్ వన్ యా ఆధ్యాత్మిక్ అది దైవిక్ అండ్ అది భౌతిక్ ఆర్ అంతరంగ బహిరంగ అండ్ తటస్థ శక్తిస్ ఇతి తే అభిహితం తాత యతేదం అనుపృచ్ఛసి నాణ్యత్ భగవత కించిత్ భావ్యం సదసదాత్మకం సో ఐ వాంట్ టు సమ్మరైజ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఐ హావ్ టోల్డ్ టు యూ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఐ హావ్ స్పోకన్ టు యూ ఇన్ రెస్పాన్స్ టు యువర్ క్వశ్చన్స్ ఐ వాంట్ టు సమ్మరైజ్ ఇట్ సో హి సేస్ తాత మై డియర్ సన్ ఇట్స్ అ వెరీ అఫెక్షనేట్ అడ్రస్ ఇతి తే అభిహితం వాట్ ఎవర్ ఐ హ్యావ్ స్పోకన్ టు యూ యథా ఇదం అనుపృచ్ఛసి ఇన్ రెస్పాన్స్ టు యువర్ క్వశ్చన్స్ ఐ హ్యావ్ దస్ ఆన్సర్డ్ బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ మీ టు సమ్మరైజ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ వన్ లైన్ దిస్ ఇస్ మై సమ్మరీ నా కించిత్ భావ్యం నథింగ్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ సద్ అసదాత్మకం ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆర్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ కాజ్ ఆర్ ఎఫెక్ట్ కాజ్ అండ్ ఎఫెక్ట్ as in pradhan is the cause mahatattva is the effect mahatattva is the cause false ego is the effect in that sense so whatever you see in the form of cause or effect understand that nothing exists bhagavatah anyad other than the supreme lord meaning everything is energy of the supreme lord So ultimately nothing exists in the form of cause and effect other than the Supreme Lord, which means other than his energies, like that. So this is the conclusion of Brahmaji. So when we meet in the afternoon, we will see what else Brahmaji wants to share with Narada Muni. And then we will further continue to the 7th chapter. Srila Prabhupada ki. శ్రీమద్భాగవతంకి